Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
Our reading from Acts. Now the whole group of those who believe were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it distributed to each as any had need. Word of God. How good and how pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity.
It is like a fine oil upon the head, flowing down upon the beard of Aaron, flowing down upon the collar of his robe.
It is like the dew of Hermon, flowing down upon the hills of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forever. Second reading is from 1 John. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jewish religious leadership, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Peace be with you. One cannot help but hear the news this week. A total eclipse of the sun will happen tomorrow. Some hold that this event, along with, well, earthquakes in the U.S. Northeast and wars in the Middle East, all portend God's judgment upon this nation. Others hold that such associations point to bad theology and, well, weak understanding of science. One commentator noted that a total eclipse happens somewhere in the world pretty much every 18 months. Somehow, only those that cross North America indicate the rapture, the apocalypse, the end of the world. Yesterday on National Public Radio, Weekend Edition, an enrolled member of the Miami Nation of American Indians spoke about the meaning her tradition associates with solar eclipses. She spoke of ways that within her background, in her tradition, they acknowledge the eclipse as the death and rebirth of the sun. Making meaning of events surrounding them fills humanity's time on a regular basis. So much can be incomprehensible. To be sure, on the evening of Jesus' resurrection, the disciples had gathered, indeed, locked themselves away. They lived with fear of the religious leadership. Even still, the gospel accounts don't offer many specifics of that. First century folks who had already experienced the first rounds of persecution when this gospel came together would have easily understood the kind of fear that the disciples felt. Today, lacking much of the story or the experience, people speculate. Yesterday in the men's breakfast, the discussion turned to the day before this, that Saturday after Jesus was crucified and before he was raised from the dead. The reading spoke of Joseph of Arimathea making the bold move to request Jesus' body and bury it. In the conversation spoke of Joseph's courage. He had stepped out in the reality of his fear. You see, he had not publicly declared discipleship until that moment. Often such a bold move comes with a sense of relief, of invigoration, of hope. Yet the author of the devotional material wondered what that Saturday, the next day, may have felt like. Could Joseph and all those others have experienced not just loss, but worry about the actions they had taken the day before? Brené Brown calls such a moment of concern vulnerability hangover. Taking a risk can bring both invigoration and a whole lot of second guessing. See, then the next morning, the women came back from the tomb declaring that Jesus was not there. Some of the men went to verify. Then Mary Magdalene came back announcing that she had actually spoken to Jesus. In spite of Jesus teaching them about what would happen, the disciples struggled to make meaning, to make sense of it all. So still, they were locked away in a room for fear of the religious leadership that evening. One might wonder if for them, the sun had experienced an eclipse. Certainly, John's gospel makes a big deal of Jesus being the light of the world. This sun had been temporarily snuffed out, put to death on the cross. But then, all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. John's gospel tells us that he, the Word of God incarnate, participated in the creation of all things. This resurrected Jesus speaks peace to the disciples. Then he breathes on them. Many remember that in Genesis, humanity comes to life through the breath of God. Similar to the American Indian interpretation of solar eclipses, the Son of God dies and comes back to new life. But even more, Jesus breathes new life upon his disciples, on you and on me. This new life, this new creation opens space for living differently in a world that too often feels threatening. When Thomas asserts skepticism, Jesus does not shame him. Rather, Jesus meets him and offers him the exact same thing he offered all the other disciples. He shows him the wounds on his hands and in his side. All of this, the author records precisely so that all who hear may believe. What meaning for us today? As the church today, we continue the journey of living into the peace and new creation Jesus breathes on disciples then and now. We gather in community, support one another in faith and life, hearing and telling the story of God's faithfulness. We bear witness to the good news of Jesus Christ in our word and in our action. We love one another and our neighbor as Jesus has loved us, a risky proposition when taken seriously. That love gets embodied in taking positions that seek justice and peace for all the earth. Friday evening, the Prometheus Choral Group here in town presented Bach's Christmas Cantata, Christian, Engrave This Day. On this second Sunday of Easter, this cantata's final sentence offers a word for disciples who hide themselves away for fear of torment. Quoting, "Let us always go with your blessing, Lord, but never let it happen that Satan may torment us."
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's SaintAndrewsLutheran.org. Have a glorious week.